You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Douglas I. Shear. He is the chairman of Artist Talk on Art. Douglas, thanks so much for being with us today.
Sure.
I'd like to ask you a little bit about what ATOA, Artist Talk on Art, does. Maybe you could talk about how it began and essentially its mission in the community of the art world.
Well, it was organized in 1974 by myself, Laurie Antonacci, and Bob Wiegand. And its purpose was to provide a forum for ideas in art, particularly ideas that artists have about their art, about their lives, and about the art community.
And so it's progressed enormously since then, but how has it grown? These are essentially, I mean, interviews. I know there's also health insurance and a number of things you do, but you're talking essentially about the interview process that you do, the panels?
Well, it's a panel discussion series, an aesthetic panel discussion series, that got as its inspiration the artist club of the late 40s, 50s, and 60s, although Artist Talk on Art from its very beginnings has always been very pluralistic and very inclusive, and the club was really an almost entirely male-only meeting place for the abstract expressionists. So we have from the beginning been much broader, even though the first decade of our panels was very heavily influenced by the New York School and the Abstract Expressionists. Many of them appeared with us. But from really the very beginning, we were embracing a much broader palette of different sensibilities, different genres, and different themes.
And what was one of the more memorable or pivotal talks, panel discussions that you can recall from those early days?
Oh, that's difficult because there have been over 6,000 artists who have appeared in more than 1,400 talks. So, you know, picking out one is very, very difficult. But I think, you know, there are different ways of looking at what was exciting or influential. I think certainly major names in the art world, let's say art stars, that caused a lot of excitement. So times that we had Louise Bourgeois or Alice Neal or Christo and Jean-Claude, Larry Rivers, you know, so that those occasions were always very exciting and drew huge audiences. Thematically, I think that if you look at the history of Artist Talk on Art, which is now over 40 years, you see embedded into it many iterations of feminist art. You see political art. You see all sorts of genre within the art world: minimalism, hyperrealism, performance art, video art. It's difficult to pinpoint any one type, but we've had great success with presenting important teachers in the art world. We've had several panels, for example, on the Hoffman School. We've covered things like Black Mountain College. We've really had a very broad swath of coverage of themes, movements, and politics within the art world.
So then you've had an interesting window into the whole growth of the art world. How have you seen? I mean, from 1974 to now, the art world has grown tremendously. How have you seen changes in the art world, or have you? Is there something different that's being asked for, or a difference in the way you're programming panels in response to the changing of the art world?
Well, I think you know, we had Ivan Karp on a couple of occasions, and he really put it very well I think it was around 1991, he was talking about drawing a comparison from what the art world was like in the 50s, let's say the 10th Street days, and what it's like more recently. Of course, he's passed, but at the time in the 50s, and I remember this from my own childhood, everybody that was involved with the art world could fit in one gallery. I mean, the four critics, the five or six collectors, all the artists and their spouses and their dogs. I mean, everybody could fit into any one opening. The scale was just much, much smaller. So New York in the 50s and even into the beginning of the 60s had a relatively small number of galleries. I'm sure, you know, in those days it was under 100 in the entire island. And today that number would be around 1,000. So, you know, the scale of things has changed dramatically. The number of artists has changed dramatically. The number of people writing about art, the number of people collecting art, the activities of the auction houses, everything about the art world has amplified and multiplied so that it's practically not recognizable. I would say the only thing that has remained somewhat like it was in the earlier days is the museums, although physically they're very different, but the institutions are pretty much the same institutions. So how that has affected a series like ours is that there are many more people that want to appear, that have ideas, that want to express themselves. There are all sorts of subtle iterations of themes that have emerged. The art world in the period before Artists Talk on Art, let's say during the time of the club, was much narrower in terms of its focus. And I would say that you'd be hard-pressed today to catch one particular theme or one particular movement that stands out in a dramatic way, the way they did in the earlier period.
It's been such a huge change. Are artists asking for, I mean, how has the organization adapted to that? There's, I imagine, much more interest now. Is there a changing focus on the market or anything like that that you're noticing, new trends that are happening?
Well, even the idea of art as a market is something that was not that big a factor at our founding. What was going on in the mid-70s when we started was a very tumultuous period where the major institutions were being attacked, politically attacked. There was a lot of ferment in the art world, and a lot of organizations started right around the time that we did. So things like Franklin Furnace, Artist Space, a number of institutions came into being at around the same time. So how we have adapted ourselves to the changes in the art world, well, we've certainly taken on the what I would call the self-help issues, the career issues, the self-promotion, the web. We've taken on all of those things so that we have infused into an otherwise aesthetic program more panels and dialogues about professional, career building. Although, if you go back in ATOA to its roots, we were always doing panels on some of those aspects, so on health hazards, you know, art materials hazards, artist housing, healthcare. So we always infused into our programming a few subjects like that that were, let's say, community-oriented in addition to the purely aesthetic.
It's a wonderful organization. I want to thank you for even building it, because there's not many that I can think of that have been around that long and have been truly serving artists for as long as yours has. How do you see the future of the organization? Will it continue to grow in any way, or will it continue to be this kind of educational archive, as well as creating other resources for artists?
Well, let's go with the archive theme. We've been recording from the very beginning, so we had the presence of mind really day one to record each event, and we built up, therefore, over the 40 years, what is probably, I would say arguably, the largest archive of audio and video recordings in the history of art. Countervailing that idea, looking at the club, only a tiny handful of recordings survived that length of time that the club was together. And so we have all these recordings plus all the papers. We have built up a massive archive, and we've spent the last couple of years in conversation with a number of large institutions, schools, and so forth. And I would say probably by the end of this year, we will have placed the archive. So, you know, that's one important milestone, and we will, as we continue running the panels, and we're still very much alive, we will keep feeding copies of those recordings to whatever institution they're residing in. Other than that, I would say looking at where we would go in the future, I think it will have a lot to do with the web and the internet. Streaming. We're certainly looking at that, and we think that that opens the door to much larger audiences than those who can fit in the room. So we've been investigating that, building in that direction. I think that in the next year or so, we'll actually see that become real.
This broadcast is reaching artists and people in the art world of varying types. Is there a way you want to plug the organization in any way? How should artists contact you or interact with ATOA, as well as administrators from all walks of the museum world? How are you interested in?
I'm actually quite happy to have people contact me at my email, which is simply Doug Scheer, DougSheer at gmail.com. We're perfectly happy to, getting contacts like that. Of course, we have a website, www.atoa.org. People can learn a lot by simply going to the website. That's where they'll find whatever the latest panels are. They can, be added to a distribution list. And any institution that might want to contact us certainly can just email me.
Doug, thanks so much for talking with us today. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I want to thank you for what you're doing on behalf of all the artists and people in the art world that you've reached out to and are doing this for. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your interest.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIVC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.